Snow's fallen. Richmond, Virginia. Stay warm. Stay safe. No school today. Who knows tomorrow what will happen? We'll be here making radio for you. MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. I love Trey's perspective there, and we'll put that on the podcast a little later. Trey Wilson, voice of the Richmond Flying Squirrels, getting us ready 52 days to opening night of the Flying Squirrels. Doesn't feel like it right now, but it's coming. Asked about the score bug, the way they put the score on the Scray Fox. He said, if we're talking about that instead of the refs, they're probably happy about that. Yeah, it doesn't make the score bug good. It wasn't any good. But if that's your controversy of the night, things probably went as smoothly as the NFL could have hoped. Unfortunately, I neglect to mention it was not the only controversy of the week, Hazel. We had Bud Light Big Game Week last week. You know it's my favorite week of the year. We go out there to the big game, which was in New Orleans this year, and for a week we're in the convention center, Radio Row, talking to football people, talking to celebrities, talking to other media, just getting smart, making good content. Nobody making better content than our boy Awad. Obviously, he was the star of Radio Row. He always is. We eat good food. We socialize. It's my favorite week of the year. And also, like, I love everybody. I'm a lover. So I don't have a lot of enemies out there, which is nice, because some media personalities are very divisive. There are a lot of people who don't like them, and that's not me. I'm universally loved until this week at Bud Light Big Game Week.
So, oh, no.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. We had our little Odyssey cluster of stations. We were right next to 106.7 The Fan in D.C., of course, Grant and Danny. We love having them in the afternoons. Grant and I were hanging out. We were having a good time. The Fan Dallas, which interviews Jerry Jones. The Fan Kansas City, which, you know, is the home of the Chiefs. WIP in Philly, et cetera, et cetera. We had our little cluster. Right at two tables over from us was NBC Sports Philly, which does a lot of Eagles coverage, and they had a big presence there as well. So Radio Row, 150 tables.
Ooh.
They did not have 150 trash cans.
Oh.
Every third table got a trash can.
Okay.
Which is fine. We didn't get a trash can. I don't need a trash can. The trash cans were small. They were kind of personal sized. And so I don't know, I don't want to walk all the way across the convention center to throw something away in the big trash can.
Right.
When the table, two tables next to me, you're never more than one table away from a trash can in this setup.
A tiny trash can.
But I think we need to be team players.
Okay.
In this situation, because we're all trying to do live radio. So we have lunch. AWOD's doing his show. I wrap up my show at noon. Macy's there, our intern who made great social media content all week. AWOD's there. I said, I'll go get lunch for everybody, because I'm a good guy, as previously mentioned. We wrap up lunch. It's cluttering the table. You know, we're trying to take pictures with these famous athletes as they come through, make good content. So I said, I'll throw away lunch. I don't want to walk all the way across the convention center. So sue me. So I threw it away, threw the stuff away in the NBC Sports Philly trash can.
Ooh.
I didn't think anything of it. If we had the trash can, I would have fully expected them to throw things away in our trash can over the course of the week. Didn't think anything of it. Awan's friend, who does the Black and Gold Fan podcast with him, I guess is a huge Eagles fan. He texts me, and says, hey, is this you in the background of this podcast? So let's play the clip of the NBC Sports Philly Eagles podcast.
At right guard, and now you have Mike Caliendo.
He just walks up and throws something in the trash behind us. And he just leaves. Anyway, I thought that was rude.
You have, if we can get back to the podcast here.
The two hosts. The one gets full-on distracted by me throwing something away in their trash can.
And then you walked away.
And then he just threw something away, and then he left. Huh. What was I supposed to do? Linger? Do a segment?
They're recording something.
They're recording something. I threw something away, and I kept it moving. I jarred him. I knocked him off his game. The co-host is like, hey, you know, let's stay focused here. The Eagles are in the Super Bowl. We're trying to make a podcast. This guy, though, he's lost it. We have lost the train of thought. They stumble through about another minute of podcast, and here's how they finish up the segment.
But it's going to be big to stop their running game.
It will be. Anything else I missed there?
I think you covered it all.
Yeah.
There was a moment where I was kind of distracted by the guy from...
No, don't do that.
Don't do that?
Don't do that. All right, let's take a little break. I'll let Rube calm down, and we'll answer a bunch of questions on the other side.
Ooh.
Now, here's the thing.
He's fired up, MP.
But he's very fired up. I didn't know any of this until the next day. We had media table beef. I had no idea.
Wow.
I had no idea we had media table beef.
You weren't on my score sheet to start the beef, I gotta be honest.
I'll say this. What happened was AWOD and I went to Bud Light Big Game Week, and somehow I started more beef than AWOD.
Crazy.
What were the odds? What were the odds?
Good Googa Mooga!
Did not see that coming at all. This guy also, he's gonna like, hey, that jerk from, and then his co-host is like, whoa. Let's not be calling out other places.
Ooh.
So I'd like to step up here and just say that was me. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, worldwide on the Free Odyssey app, AUDACY. Just say, no need to protect the identities here because I have no remorse and I have no regret. And you know what? If I were in a similar situation next year in San Francisco, I'd do it again.
Next year, you better specifically seek them out to throw trash in their trash.
That's a phenomenal point. We need to have our guy Rube, whoever Rube is, we're having Rube on the show next year.
You watch out, Rube.
Rube is a Radio Row guest, and when he leaves, I'm going to ask him if he'll throw something away for me. That's the bit. Next year, we're going to have Rube on to talk Eagles, and then as he's leaving, I say, hey, while you're leaving, would you throw this away for me? That's going to be the bit. Next year at Bud Light Big Game Week. So I...
Kendrick and Drake who?
Move over, Kendrick and Drake. Move over everybody against the score bug. There's a new beef in town. And it's high-quality beef, too. I don't think I'm in the wrong here. I get... Is their trash can? Sure. But we're all in this as a community. And if there's not a trash can for every table, you got to share. You learn that early on in life. You got to share. Those are the rules.
Feels like there's something about Philly, brotherly love.
Now, I'll say this. I don't know that Philly has embraced me with open arms, given my past takes about Philadelphia. But if you were to tell me one city's media got mad at me this week during Bud Light Big Game Week, I would have guessed correctly on the first try, for sure. I would have nailed that one. Because for all the tough talk... Nobody talks tougher than Philly. Rocky and the Stairs, and you know, we're grittier than New York, and you get over yourself. Nobody's softer when it actually comes to it than Philadelphia. Can't handle Ooh. Their trash can being used.
MP is not backing down.
By the late morning radio host in Richmond, Virginia. Disappointing. More show on the other side if they let me come back. I don't know. If I disappear, you'll know what happened. The Philly Mafia running strike. Congrats to the Eagles. I'm happy for you. Back more after this. You're listening to 910.
I almost became a bad guy here at the station today. Disaster averted. Thank you to Jeff Wicker for that.
Because we got the K-Cup machine in there, and it's radio. Everybody, you know, it's important to everybody to have their coffee, have their tea. I'm not a coffee drinker. I love tea, though. I make a green tea every day when I come in here. I use the last green tea K-Cup. But that's all right. That's all right. Because I know where that we keep the extras.
Mm-hmm.
But they weren't there.
Nah.
We were out. Like, all the way out. I didn't know what to do. And I didn't want to just walk away from the situation. Because that's bad guy behavior.
And you've learned.
Jeff Wicker taught me how to find where we keep the bonus emergency stash. So, we're good. All is right with the world. Back on the plus side here.
Philly Radio taught you to stay humble. Jeff Wicker showed you the tea.
George points out that Gibson Jimerson is probably not going to play tonight against George Mason. Big A-10 basketball clash tonight, 8 o'clock. I think this ratchets up the pressure on Mason more than St. Louis. I had seen a path for St. Louis to get an at-large that involved really cleaning up in the A-10, dominating A-10 play, and then, you know, making the case, all right, our best player was injured in the non-conference. That just hasn't happened. You lost to GW, you lost to Dayton, split with VCU, It's not good enough. They needed full dominance. They're not going to be an at-large team. There's no pressure on them. They want to win. They want to get ready for D.C. They need to be a top four seed in D.C. It's tough to win if you have to play the four in 4 days. Is St. Louis capable of winning the A-10 tournament? I believe yes, absolutely they are. If Jimerson's playing and if Robbie Avila's playing, yes. They could absolutely cut down the nets in D.C. Could they start a fight in the stands? Yeah, I bet they're capable of that, too. We're gonna stay on alert up there for that. You got to keep your head on a swivel if it's St. Louis VCU at the A-10 basketball tournament. But tonight against George Mason, Mason's in a little different spot. Their schedule's not even close to good enough to earn an at-large bid, but dang if they aren't winning a lot of basketball games right now, and Tony Skim's got this team rolling. Dang if they're not compiling a very nice record in A-10 play. It's put up or shut up time for the Patriots. At St. Louis tonight, hosting St. Joe's Saturday, and then to the Siegel Center next Saturday. If they win all three, are we opening up the discussion? I'm maybe not crazy for thinking that we are. I think you would have a case to make at that point. I don't think that'll happen. I don't believe that'll happen. But I think if Gibson Jimerson doesn't go tonight for St. Louis, there's way more pressure on Mason, because I think everybody's kind of waiting for the fraud alert thing to happen. It's Indiana football all over again. It's a really nice record. Who'd you get it against? I'm bullish long-term on Mason. Give me some Mason stock long-term. They have the resources. They're in a very nice recruiting ground there in D.C. I think they'll be good again long-term. They're the classic made the Final Four, got too big for their britches, made a really bad coaching hire, paid for it for a while. But fundamentally, that's a school that can be good and arguably should be good. And I think with Coach Skim, they'll be good again. Are they ready now? My gut says no, but if you're playing St. Louis without one of their two best players, that ratchets up the pressure. Now, if you lose this one, now it's, all right, we see what this was all about. I think there's more pressure on George Mason to win this one tonight. That's my gut. A lot of you reacting as well to our name segment earlier. Here's the problem. Here's the problem with all of you. I got a lot of problems with you people. Every time we talk about the name, everybody's hanging on every word. We got to get over it at some point. We've got to get over it. We can't do this until the new stadium opens in 2030. It's just not sustainable. But I get it. We're going to talk about it again all summer. We played the Josh Harris clip for you earlier where he say, you know, Commanders mean something in the building. We're sticking with Commanders, but we're getting back to our past. We've got a great brand. And I said that's not going to win them any people over. I do think it's a smart move short term, because there's a lot of former football team Redskins fans who live in D.C., who live in Richmond, who live in Norfolk, who live in the area, who are thinking about coming back in after this past year. They saw, they enjoyed. We know historically the biggest bump comes for a team after the success, not during the success. This next year should be a good ticket sales year. People are thinking about getting back in. Those people really, really want the team to be named Redskins. And we're not going to litigate that because they're not. But I think Josh Harris is doing the next best thing. He's making it as close as he can, bringing back the old style uniforms, bringing back, you know, a lot of the attributes and the colors that people like. Is that a long-term winning game strategy for him, a guy who owns a $6 billion company who needs to acquire new fans? No, it is not. He needs something that appeals to the kids. He needs his Kendrick Lamar, right? Everybody in my circles right after the halftime show, oh, that was a stupid halftime show. I didn't like that. Talk to the kids. They enjoyed that. Our guy Stubb loved the halftime show. Hazel, you like the halftime show is what I'm picking up on here?
I did.
Yeah. That's what you need to appeal to. And the name Commanders and some throwback burgundy and golds is not going to get the job done. You've got a great opportunity here. Jaden Daniels, he's young, he's exciting. He's the next Lamar. Ravens are a global brand now because of Lamar. People love Lamar. That could be Jaden in a few years. I don't think kids in Montana are going to want to rock a throwback burgundy and gold that says Daniels 5. I think you're going to need something different ultimately. You can wait, though. I think we can all have patience for the process. I know we can't have patience for the process, actually. I think we can all have patience for the process. I hope we can. So that's the Commander's name talk. The Dallas Mavericks ejected a fan from the arena last night. They put him on the Jumbotron. They were showing fans on the Jumbotron. And when he was put on the Jumbotron, he yelled, "Fire Nico," referring to Nico Harrison, the general manager who traded away Luka Doncic. The Mavericks had him escorted from the arena, kicked out of the game.
Oh.
Are you familiar with the Streisand effect?
No.
Okay. You can Wikipedia it. So,
okay.
Google Maps. I'll explain it to you. When Google Maps first started, they had the satellite view where you could see everybody's house, basically.
Okay.
And Barbara Streisand, I guess, got really worked up about people seeing the backyard of her Malibu house.
Mm.
And so she sued Google Maps to keep the image private, to blur it.
Okay.
I don't know how the specific lawsuit turned out, but the Streisand effect is everybody in America wanted to see what that backyard looked
yes.
like. She now has one of the most famous backyards in America because every news story is like, take a look at this backyard. And there wasn't anything like, she wasn't like growing weed or anything there. It was just a backyard. But
it was her backyard.
But it was the one she didn't want us to see.
Mm.
The Mavericks are going to learn this lesson. If you just let him mouth it on the Jumbotron, life moves on. When you kick him out of the stadium, a talk show in Richmond, Virginia talks about it now all of a sudden. That's some thin skin right there. Can't handle the heat.
Still dedicated enough to come to the game.
That's a fan.
Yeah.
And I said that about the Washington fans for many years. The people I was happiest for this year, I was happy for a lot of people, a lot of former players. The people I was happiest for was the people who kept sitting their butts in those seats in that crappy stadium every week watching a terrible product. For a decade, they tormented themselves. They deserved that happiness. I don't know, like, if I've got that in me. When the Royals are bad, I don't watch the Royals. I check the box score. But, like, my dad is watching the Royals every night. Those are the fans. Those are the Washington fans I'm happy for. You kept driving to the stadium. You kept tailgating. You kept walking in there, and you knew it wasn't going to end well. That's the Mavs fan. You need to go take that guy a T-shirt. Take that guy a T-shirt and tell him we're working on it. We've got a plan. We're going to be good. We promise. Even if that's a lie. Even if you don't have a plan. Even if you know you're going to be terrible. That's the guy you need in your corner, ultimately. Because that's the guy you're going to need when things get rough. And it sounds like things are going to get rough there in Dallas. MP on the mic. 910 The Fan. 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Speaking of fans, remember in the Yankee in the World Series, the Yankees fan who grabbed Mookie Betts? You saw that? Had a full feature in the New York Times yesterday about him. He just wants his anonymity back. Life has been very hard for him. It's a full story with a picture of him and his name, which a lot of people agree is the best way to reclaim your anonymity.
Yep.
Is having your picture on the front page of the New York Times.
Made the right choice.
Could everybody just leave me alone, says this man, and here's a picture of him on the front of the New York Times.
Printed it big as we could.
He deserves everything he's getting. Was he drunk? Sure. Yeah. Is that an excuse? No, you grabbed a baseball player in the middle of the game. You can't do that. Even Steve Bartman, didn't grab the guy. That was next level.
What did you tell me about the guy coming off at the Cotton Bowl, coming off the bench and tackling somebody? That's essentially what's going on here.
That guy's a legend, though. That guy's a legend because it's the only time they've ever invoked the rule that the refs can put points on the board. Let's figure out how we're going to do crosstalk. I think we're going to call Awad for crosstalk. Looking forward to that. Always enjoy chatting with our guy. We're going to wrap up this Tuesday edition. Everybody stay safe out there. It's the snowy Tuesday edition of MP on the Mic back in Richmond. Having a good time. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.
MP on the Mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, always worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Taking you around town on a soon-to-be snowy Tuesday morning, soon to be more snowy. Tuesday morning, rather. I see the flakes out there, but things are coming. Look out. Heaviest snow today in the late afternoon, then it's going to turn into that gross cold rain stuff. So get inside, hang by the fire, enjoy the free Odyssey app and the show we've got for you today, because a Richmond tradition returns today. That's right. I am, of course, talking about Tuesdays with Trey. Trey Wilson, the Richmond Flying Squirrels, joins us for the first time in calendar year 2025. Certainly not the last time. Does not feel like baseball outside, but that is why they go to Arizona for spring training for a few weeks, get themselves ready for the season. They'll be back here before you know it. Nutsy's block party March 1st. We'll talk about that, get you ready for the season. While the Squirrels are on the back burner, the Commanders are on the side burner. They're still hot. We still want to talk about them. We still want to talk about that season that just happened. They're not the front burner right now, but we will make time for some Commanders talk today. Want to play a couple interviews from Bud Light Big Game Week. Want to dive into what Josh Harris said about the name, because I know that is always the most popular conversation to have in town. So all of those things will happen on today's show, but the front burner is VCU basketball, and you know this show probably spends a little more time than we should on the CAA and how great it was and how fun it was at the Richmond Coliseum. I mentioned that at least once a week. Blaine Taylor and the Mustache and ODU, Doc Nix, George Mason, all those guys. But that was a high point of basketball in the Richmond area. We're flying towards that again. Big game alert tonight. George Mason at St. Louis. This is going to be a fun one. 8 o'clock tonight. It's time to find out how for real George Mason is. And then they are, here's Mason's next three. On Saturday, they're hosting St. Joe's. And then St. Joseph's, and then they get the week off, and they're coming here to the Siegel Center Saturday, February 22nd, 4 o'clock, in what's absolutely the game of the year in the A-10, no matter what happens between here and there, which is going to be a ton of fun. So I am often accused by A1 of looking ahead. I am looking ahead in this instance here. Certainly a lot of basketball to be played for both teams, two games for both teams. VCU's back tomorrow night. They're actually up in D.C. playing against G-Dub, not a former CAA rival. But George Mason at St. Louis tonight, that's going to be a super fun basketball game. I'll be tuned in because I think St. Louis is better than they get credit for. Obviously, Robbie Avila getting injured early in the season was a differentiator for them, and will certainly hurt them come, you know, resume time. But I think they're a good team. I think we don't know about George Mason yet. I get that they are well coached. Love what Tony Skim's doing up there. Love that they're on the bounce back. They are the number one team in the Atlantic 10 Conference right now, and I am not here to deny that. They went on the road and beat Dayton. I am not here to deny that. There's no standout victory aside from that, though. And they got caught up in the weird, like, we're going to the Bahamas, and then they didn't go to the Bahamas thing earlier this year, which the dude got arrested for, ultimately, who scammed him out all the money on the Bahamas trip. And they played a couple of good games. I mean, they lost to Marquette by 20. They went to Duke. They lost by 20. I'm not prepared to read into either of those results. They went to JMU early in the season. They won. I don't know the JMU's all that this year. They're floating kind of mid to upper Sun Belt tier there. It's time to find out how good George Mason is, because this is important information for the conference, with big implications for DC as well. If this team's for real and they come into DC, we're going to have ourselves a really fun A-10 tournament. Mason, VCU, pushing each other around in D.C. Doc Nix, we got our guy, Kapasi. It's going to be a lot of fun, the Peppas and the Green Machine, and a lot of great basketball. If they're not for real, we got to sort this out quickly, because we got to get somebody into the second bid spot, and I do think St. Louis is the next team up. With I get the Dayton's resume is better, but I just, especially after watching them fold the other night, I just don't know that you can trust Dayton in a tournament spot.
So I think that St. Louis has a chance for a statement win tonight. They've already got a win over VCU as well, of course. So the Billikens, could they play their way into that number two spot? They've got a busy week because they're at Loyola on Friday. Loyola got them the first time around. And, you know, it's going to be a wild finish here. They're at Loyola. That's the first of their two against Loyola, sorry. Loyola's returned the favor in a couple weeks as well. St. Louis still has Dayton. So VCU's probably cleared the most hurdles so far. And VCU's a consensus best team in the A-10. But George Mason's sitting number one in the standings. It's a little bit like Indiana football was this year. You're on top until proven otherwise. And ultimately, they were proven otherwise. But Mason will get the chance on the basketball court, both tonight in St. Louis and then February 22nd, a Saturday, we're 11 days away from that, at the Stew, to prove that they are the team to beat, the team that deserves to carry the flag to D.C. Ahead of what's going to be a very fun A-10 men's basketball tournament. And, of course, we will be there to bring you that action when the time arrives, hopefully not until Friday. It's hard to imagine VCU slides back into the Thursday games at this juncture. Of course, we'll do VCU game night and all that tomorrow when they go to George Washington. But just keep that on the radar. Football's over. We'll still have plenty of football talk today. Football's over. Time to turn the corner, and we're doing it with a really good one tonight. Mason at St. Louis. We're going to find out if Mason's for real, if St. Louis can surge down the stretch and make a case. A lot of good basketball ahead, and you know we'll have it all for you here on 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, your home of the Rams and Richmond. But those CAA tournaments were so good, though. In the moment, I remember certainly working at the newspaper, it was like what you wanted was to get assigned to the ACC tournament. And if you couldn't get assigned to the ACC tournament, you'd take the CAA. And I got the CAA the first few years. I loved it. I loved every bit of it. You know, you wanted the ACC tournament, though. It's funny that if you rebooted both of them now, if you kept the ACC as it is and you rebooted the CAA, that's probably the one you'd want, honestly, just for the fun of it all. Because the ACC is diluted. Virginia's probably not even going to make it this year. They're clawing their way back into that pillow fight Tuesday there in Charlotte. It's fading, man. It's brutal. And North Carolina's not doing anybody any favors. It's a tough conference right now. They made their mark on basketball. They have not made this transition to NIL world very smoothly at all. And there's reasons for that at Tech, and there's very good reasons for that at Tech. And I don't spend a ton of time talking Virginia Tech basketball on this program. And the reason for that is I think a lot of you who are Tech football fans do not spend a lot of your time, energy, mental space on Virginia Tech basketball, which is fine. Some people judge that, right? Like, oh, you're a Tech football fan. You're a Duke basketball fan. Yeah, I bet you are. Yeah, I'm going to make fun of you for being a Duke basketball fan, obviously. Nothing. Root for your teams, man. Do you. If you want to be a Yankees fan and a Hokie football fan, do it. This show will always poke fun at the Cowboys, the Yankees, Duke basketball, LeBron, etc. Doesn't mean you shouldn't do what you do, man. If you want to root for the Death Star, root for the Death Star. Just know how I'm going to feel about the Death Star. But Tech basketball, that's the few, the committed. You know, Buzz came through a few years ago, had them rolling a little bit. It's going to be tough there because every NIL dollar at Tech, you've got to funnel into football. And I think everybody understands that. And I think everybody understands why you're funneling all that money into football as well. If Tech is good at football, Tech is nationally relevant as a school and will be just fine in the conference, whatever comes of these conferences. If Tech is not fine at football, that's a dangerous spot to be in for a school that's built itself up a Power 4 caliber athletics department in a lot of areas as well. They need that football success to sustain everything else. At UVA, you had Tony Bennett. He didn't want to play the NIL game. That's fine, right? You got the Dabo Sweeney of basketball. But it didn't work out, and now you're coming up on a huge coaching hire. Obviously, the rumor is going to be Ryan Odom. Everybody knows the rumor is going to be Ryan Odom. Of course, we're all waiting to see, you know, where the tea leaves fall this that's not even a saying. Where the tea leaves fall this off season. I think Ryan Odom will be one of the favorites there. I've cautioned though that things often do not turn out as expected in Charlottesville. Case in point, they hired Tony Bennett. A lot of fans did not like the Tony Bennett hire. I think Ryan Odom will be very high on the board. I saw my guy Hootie Cherry Radcliffe floating Rick Carlisle. So yeah, that's where the fans' heads are going to be. Historically, the best UVA hires, though, have not been the star hire, the one the fans want. Do I think Ryan Odom could win there? Absolutely. I think he'd do a fantastic job there. Do I think he might have other offers? Yeah. He's really good at what he does. So don't lose sight of that in the VCU basketball season either. Ryan Odom's spectacular at what he does. Great basketball coach, has his teams ready to play. You know, as a GM, I was left a little wanting this offseason. He's certainly shown me that he had a vision. He executed his vision. I think he probably would have taken, you know, one more big man with a little bit more talent in the transfer portal. Didn't happen. Lots of guys were looking for that. But he built an identity around defense. And I think you saw that pay off down the stretch against Dayton in a big time way. So yeah, the ACC tournament this year, yeah, you'll have Duke. You'll have Clemson. So you got a pair of good teams. You're going to have some fun basketball, but you're not going to have the rivalry juice. And so I will continue pining over here for the good old days. Today's program, a couple interviews coming up here for you. We're going to recheck in on the Commanders. Usually, so Tuesdays with Trey is going to happen at 11. That'll bump Commanders Rewind, which we normally do in that time, but football's over now. We'll count down the best Commanders wins of the year on other side. We did that in New Orleans. It was a lot of fun. And then my chat with Aaron Schatz, who knows everything about football. He invented DVOA, which is one of the advanced metrics that everybody loves. We'll play those conversations. We'll come back. A couple other things we'll talk about out of the Super Bowl as well at 10:45 Tuesdays with Trey at 11. We've got ourselves a radio show. Stay safe out there, Richmond. It's a snowy Tuesday. It's MP on the mic. You're listening to 910 The
Tuesday
Fan.
Tuesday morning, snowy Tuesday in Richmond. Thanks for joining me. Michael Phillips here, MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, now at 105.1. FM.
Wrapping up the Super Bowl, moving our way towards college basketball. Plenty of off-season talk ahead on any number of fronts. Grant Paulson, Grant and Danny, of course, 3-6. You know, sometimes things slip through during Super Bowl week, and I think this item did because it didn't rise to the level of Super Bowl week, but it's important. Grant reported over the weekend that he was told that the Saints job, the New Orleans Saints job, was Cliff Kingsbury's if he wanted it, and that it was made clear to him the Saints would hire Cliff Kingsbury if he wanted the job. He preferred staying in D.C. and working with Jaden Daniels. I think that's fascinating on a number of fronts. One, of course, yes, the Saints was arguably the worst job of this coaching cycle. I don't think the Raiders job was great either. There were some dud jobs out there in this go round. It's hard to argue that any job was worse than the Saints job, where you've got a quarterback who will not get you where you want to go, with two more years of expensive quarterback contract on him and Derek Carr. I mean, that's that right there, right out of the gate, you're toast. Now, Sean Payton inherited that in Denver. He made it work. He cut Russell Wilson. He got his rookie quarterback. He's getting production out of Bo Nix. So essentially, the Broncos are paying for a veteran quarterback. And then Bo Nix is playing and giving them that veteran quarterback production. It's kind of a wash. It's very different, though, from what you have in D.C., where Jaden Daniels is getting paid at a rookie level and producing at a veteran level, and you don't have a veteran contract on the books. So the Saints are toast at the quarterback position out of the gate, and they're not picking early enough to get a quarterback, and there aren't any good quarterbacks this year. That roster's not it. Your one positive there is it's a weak division. It's a winnable division. It's a passionate fan base. They care. They have expectations. But your three-year outlook on the New Orleans Saints is very poor. They could make the playoffs over the next 3 years, but you couldn't win a Super Bowl over the next 3 years. Whereas in Washington, your three-year outlook absolutely involves potential to win a Super Bowl if they play this offseason correctly. So I'm not surprised by that. I said Cliff Kingsbury was going to leave if they offered him the Bears job. They had eyes for Ben Johnson. He's their guy now. That's fantastic. He's got Eric Bieniemy as his running game coordinator. We will see how all that works out. But Cliff Kingsbury, interesting also because there was the Mike McCarthy thing where Mike McCarthy made his big public show. I need a year off. I will not be entering the competition for the Saints job. Did he sense he was perhaps a runner-up? I know some of the fans wanted him. I have no clue why the fans wanted him. Maybe he didn't want the job. Certainly speaks to the caliber of job there. The Saints had an NFL head coaching opening. I might remind you, there's only 32 of those in the whole world, and they couldn't find any takers for it. That's not great going forward there in New Orleans. It is good for the Commanders, though. That does crank up the urgency. I'm not going all AWOD on you here. This is the most important offseason ever, right? You got three very important offseasons coming up the next 3 years while Jaden's on his rookie contract. It does crank up the urgency, though. I think it drives home to people. Cliff Kingsbury is going to be a head coach in the NFL very soon. So that's important to keep in mind here, that you could have a rebuilding year in 2 years where Jaden's acclimating to a new coordinator. So it cranks up the urgency a little bit this season. You want to take advantage of this window of continuity. The Lions certainly wanted to this past offseason. Commanders got him in the playoffs. But the urgency cranks up knowing every opening next year, Cliff Kingsbury's face is going to be on ESPN and he's going to be talking about it. And we've seen that go both ways. Kellen Moore, who's going to take the Saints job, wasn't a distraction for him. All he did was pants the Chiefs to the tune of 40 points in the Super Bowl. We've also seen Jonathan Gannon get distracted Super Bowl week because he's assembling a staff and let Patrick Mahomes run all over him. So it can go both ways. I trust Cliff Kingsbury. I think he's a smart dude, and I think he's dialed in when he needs to be dialed in, and he'll be dialed in this year. But I think it's time to come to grips. This could be the last season of Jaden and Cliff Kingsbury, at which point I will go full AWOD on you. That will be the most important decision Dan Quinn makes as head coach of the Washington Commanders. And he knows that, too. One of the selling points of Dan Quinn, right, was he's got that lived life experience in Atlanta when Kyle Shanahan left. Things fell apart quickly, and he's got to make sure it's not the same when Cliff Kingsbury leaves. And I think he will make sure it's the same when Cliff Kingsbury leaves. But that will be, without question, the most important decision that he makes at any point along the way as head coach of the Washington Commanders. Adam Peters, though, he's your man. He's cooking this offseason. Other leg of that triumvirate there, Josh Harris is the owner. He was on the red carpet at the NFL Honors, was asked briefly about the name Commanders. Here is Josh Harris's response.
I think it's time to move on. Commanders is important in our culture and our building and football, and it's time to move on.
I feel like people are excited about the jersey colors, though.
We're gonna go back to our brand, man. We have a great brand.
All right, thanks so much.
Back in great history. See ya.
Great history. See ya. And these red carpet things, you're supposed to only ask one question and then get like a 10-second answer and move on. So Josh Harris getting yanked away. See ya. Good history. See ya. That refers to the rumors that they're going to bring back a more Redskins-looking uniform and helmet next year, lean back into the brand. It's I'm unclear if this splitting the baby is the correct long-term approach, but I like it in the short term. You know that I am a skeptic that Commanders is actually here to stay. I agree that if they win a Super Bowl, it probably will stay. But they have not won a Super Bowl yet. They have only reached an NFC title game. That is not enough to ensure a name stays forever. NFL is a year-to-year business. What feels great right now might feel differently in 12 months at the next Bud Light Big Game Week. So there's a lot to sort out there along the way. I think the fans will lean into a more Redskins-adjacent uniform, helmet, color palette, etc. Is that a long-term formula for success? I don't think so. I think those will mostly cater to the old fans rather than making new fans. Ultimately, I've said this many times, they are not in the customer retention business. They are in the customer acquisition business. If you go back to the old style uniforms, that's customer retention. That's important short term, keeping everybody on board. You've got momentum, get everybody back on the bandwagon. That's cool. That's important. Ultimately, though, they are in the customer acquisition business. They need to acquire a new generation of fans, not just in the area, not just in Richmond, not just in D.C., not just in Maryland, but nationally. The biggest brands are national. Lamar is a national brand. Mahomes is a national brand. He plays his games in Kansas City, and yet they are the most watched team in all of football. National brand. And you're not going to do that with the name Commanders, and you're not going to do that with the old logos because they don't connect with the youth. That said, I don't mind it as a short-term play just to keep DC behind you in this critical window where you're trying to build a stadium over at RFK. Hour number two on tap. Don't mean to dismiss the topic, but we'll get back to it plenty over the coming months and years and decades. Snowy Tuesday. Trey Wilson joins us to talk baseball. Why not? Tuesdays with Trey. On the other side, you're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1
FM worldwide, always on the free Odyssey app. Tuesday mornings, 11 o'clock. Used to mean a little something around here. It was Commanders Rewind. That's where we went over
the previous week's Washington Commanders game. Played the clips, played the radio calls, etc. But the old heads know that Tuesdays at 11 o'clock used to mean something very different. We, of course, had our guy Trey Wilson on, voice of the Richmond Flying Squirrels, for Tuesdays with Trey. We love our partnership with the Richmond Flying Squirrels, and it is hard to believe, as you look out at a snowy Richmond this morning, but we are, in fact, very, very close to baseball happening again. Certainly not today, probably not tomorrow, but we're going to do Nutsy's Block Party soon. We're going to be back on the air soon. We love our partnership with the Richmond Flying Squirrels, and we love that thanks to the Commanders being good this year, it's a very seamless transition between Commanders Rewind, Tuesdays at 11, and Tuesdays with Trey, Tuesdays at 11. So we'll hand that baton off right now. Trey Wilson, voice of the Richmond Flying Squirrels, kind enough to join us. Trey, good morning. Welcome back.
Michael, good morning. Thanks for having me.
We were at the RVA Sports Awards on Saturday night with Jackie Joyner-Kersee, which is, you know, not to name drop, but that's a name to drop, Trey.
Yeah. I got to see Michael Phillips and Jackie Joyner-Kersee in the same night. It's pretty, this is a star-studded event. This
first time we've both been spotted in the same place, thus dispelling rumors that I am the Olympic world record heptathlon holder. so it's good to get that out of the way. It's the little things that always get me, Trey. I like you. We're downstairs at the Altria. You know, they got the downstairs where they do the reception, which is always a very nice event, and you get your picture taken with Jackie Joyner-Kersee, and then the events upstairs in the theater. But between the downstairs and the upstairs, what I like is that they hand you a box of popcorn for the show. And it's I bet that costs them 12 cents, but it makes me happy every year.
Yeah, that's I get the little box of popcorn. I usually do at that event. I actually skipped it this time. I had a big slice of cheesecake that I think I saw you brushing upstairs as they were trying to clear everybody out of the ballroom downstairs, and I was trying to scarf that, and I was like, all right, that's enough food intake for one day.
My thing at that event is that, you know, the food is downstairs. I get hungry by the time I get upstairs, so I try to eat extra just to stave that off. The cheesecake was good. They had the whole dessert tray, the dessert plate, which is
you know, it was top-notch. I like it. And your whole team was there. You had a lot of Squirrels folks representing because you guys are RVA Sports. You know, you guys set this in motion 10 years ago, and now we got a nice little scene.
Yeah, yeah, and this year is a fun year to look back, speaking of 15 years ago. You know, I'm on my way to Georgia right now, and one of the things that I'm doing on this trip is going to, like, try to collect old photos of Richmond Braves players. And part of the reason for that is because we are doing a bunch of stuff to celebrate the 40 years of history at the Diamond this year, 15 years of Flying Squirrels history. I don't know if you saw, hopefully everybody saw it yesterday, but we announced some of the promotions for our Diamonds of the Decades nights. I won't go through all of them on here, but you can go check them out on the Squirrels social channels, and that'll link you to the website. But there's a Brandon Crawford bobblehead this year, one of the great Flying Squirrels of all time. There's a Chipper Jones bobblehead giveaway, a little nod back to the R Braves. There's going to be some R Brave style jerseys, specialty jerseys that are going to be worn throughout the season, some throwback style Squirrels jerseys, which it's crazy that the team's now been around long enough to have throwback style jerseys. But a lot of really cool stuff going on as we kind of celebrate 15 years of Squirrels baseball, 40 years of baseball at the Diamond, and look back at some of the great moments and people that have come through over the last four decades.
Less than 2 months away, opening night with John Smoltz. That's a pretty good name there. Friday, April 4th at the Diamond. It's cool because what a great opportunity. 40 years of the Diamond, 15 years of the Squirrels, and we all expect we'll be crossing the parking lot and starting something new next year. Just a cool, going to be a cool year to reflect and look back and celebrate a lot of big names. I know you always put out the list when the guys make it up to the Giants, but you go back and look at the Braves who came through here. There have been some stars who played in Richmond, Virginia at this Diamond.
Yeah, yeah, and if people want to pick their favorites, we have a little contest running right now. You can also find that on our socials. We're asking people to vote for the All-Diamond team. We went together and put together some finalists, and that was hard enough to do because there are so many people. You don't want to have a list of, you know, 20 finalists at each position, but we're getting to a point now where the Squirrels have been around long enough. I did that again. I switched those two words a second ago. Look, I rolled out of my driveway today at 5 a.m. That's not usually a thing that I do. Some of y'all do that every day. More power to you. I was trying to beat the snow out of Virginia. Did not do that. Slipping and sliding through South Boston. So trying to make the brain wheel spin this morning. But, yeah, a lot of exciting Squirrels and Richmond Braves players over the years. We're kind of gathering the All-Diamond team. There's going to be some guys coming back. You mentioned John Smoltz is going to be there for opening night. That's huge. You know, one of the Hall of Famers who has come through Richmond over the years, one of the greatest pitchers in MLB history. We're going to have him there for opening night this year, throwing out the first pitch and all the fun festivities to go with getting the season kicked off. It'd be just the first night of 69 home dates. Plus, here on the broadcast, we're going to be throwing it back and talking about a lot of the great Richmond baseball memories from the last 40 years.
Trey Wilson, voice of the Richmond Flying Squirrels. Tuesdays with Trey is back with a vengeance, as was once said in a popular movie. Dennis Pelfrey's back, too. I know you love Pelf. I love Pelf. What's it going to mean to have another year of him leading this crew?
Yeah, I was listening to a podcast interview with him earlier, and that one of the people who covers Giants prospects, Roger Munter, did. And just listening to him talk about the way that he sees the game is always so fascinating. He's brought a lot in the 3 years that he's been here so far. This will be year four, which is not something you typically see in the minor leagues. You don't see people sticking around that long. This will be the first time that anybody's ever spent a fourth season managing the Flying Squirrels. And look, he led the team to back-to-back postseason appearances. I think we got to see some stretches of what his impact means with the team last year as far as wins and losses here locally in Richmond. Turmoil last year. It was more players suited up for the Flying Squirrels last year than any season in team history. But every time we'd get a stretch where the guys were here and kind of together and got a chance to gel and kind of get used to him and his staff's way of doing things, they would be one of the more competitive teams in the league. So we got to see some of that last year. He's obviously, you know, we've seen major league players debut at a higher rate than ever before the last few years with the Giants and a few other teams. Guys who've come through here, we're seeing more big leaguers than ever from the squirrels, and that really reflects on him as well. And he just gets it. He talked in that podcast the other day, he talked about he really wants to bring a championship to Richmond. He loves the support that the fans bring here. You know, we got close in 2022 and 2023, you know, right there on the doorstep. Last year was a little step back. You know, maybe this year will be the year that we finally get to see that trophy lifted at the end of the season. And if there's anybody who's going to understand the balance that comes with developing players and winning games in the minor leagues, Dennis Pelfrey's the guy. So hopefully while we have him here, we can get that across the finish line and bring a title to Richmond.
He's been knocking on the door, no question about it. A couple playoff appearances here in Richmond. 52 days to opening day. Trey Wilson joins us. Nutsy's block party coming up March 1st. I know when you get back, you got your spring training journey, and then things ramp up pretty quickly from there, don't they?
Yeah. That's we got a lot of stuff that's going to be coming up over the next 2 months. I guess now we're just under 2 months now till April 4th. The biggest thing is grab tickets if you're wanting to be there for opening night on April 4th, if you're wanting to be at our Independence game on July 3rd, and if you're wanting to be at the last game of the regular season on September 14th. Those tickets are moving pretty quickly. I would suggest this isn't a sales pitch. This is just like a hey, real thing. If you want to get to those games, I'd go grab some tickets soon. And that Diamond Through the Decades package is also going to get you in for a lot of the cool games that we have going on. People talk all the time about, you know, reflecting back to the R Braves days or even the early days of the Squirrels. You know, a lot of us are nostalgic people. So it's going to be really cool to turn the mirror back and look back at these things as we close out this chapter of the Diamond. There's also going to be a lot of excitement this year as we watch CarMax Park kind of come out of the ground next door. I got a chance to go tour the construction site again last week, and it's incredible how much progress has been made in such a short amount of time. It's really taking shape. The brick walls of the concourse are up now. You can see where the concession stands are going to be. It's pretty cool to see, and that's just going to keep churned along as we go throughout this spring and summer.
It's going to be a fun summer out there at the Diamond. Excited to bring it to you on 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. Trey Wilson back as the voice of the Squirrels. Trey, you want to weigh in on our issue of the day here before you bounce? Stub, Christopher Carlson, who produces many of the Squirrels games, came in fiery hot about the Super Bowl score bug on Fox. I'll be honest, I've never been that worked up over a score bug. Did you have thoughts on the Super Bowl score bug that Fox used this year?
I didn't love it, but all those things, you kind of get used to them over time. My first thought when I saw it was, this is absolutely awful. I do get worked up about stuff like that. You know, I've worked in production trucks. I've done all the behind-the-scenes stuff. And I mean, you can see it. It's like, it reminds me of when, like, some older family members have their iPhones with the text turned up real big, which is a great asset to have. Accessibility for everybody is a great thing. You can clearly read it, and that's a good thing. I've definitely seen worse, but stylistically, I didn't care for it. I thought it was really bland, and which is weird for Fox, because Fox, you know, they got the robot, they got
they're innovators,
the comic book. Yeah, the comic book cartoon characters and all this stuff. It really didn't seem to fit the feel of their broadcast. But, that's usually there where they... Yeah, that was Fox? I thought that was NBC. Was that Fox? Do they have hockey?
I think back in the day they invented the glow puck, but I will verify that.
Yeah, I mean, you probably watch a little more hockey than I do. Never been a huge hockey guy.
It was Fox, but, yes.
Ah, yeah. I'm sorry for doubting you for a moment there. Yeah, so it was, look, of all the things to get worked up about, if that's what everybody's, you know, heated about, then they didn't do too bad of a job. I listen to more games than I watch. I pull up the radio broadcasts more often. I'm usually scooting around on Sundays in the fall, so it's not going to super bug my football experience this coming year if that's the bug that they roll with. But yeah, if that's where the negative criticism is, and they're not talking about Tom Brady or referees, then I guess it went okay.
We'll call it a win. Trey Wilson, always appreciate the time. No such issues on the Fan broadcast. It's always crystal clear and spectacular. Look forward to chatting with you on future Tuesdays. We'll follow you to spring training, to Nazi's block party, and then to opening night at the Dynamo John Smoltz Friday, April 4th. The countdown is on. He woke up at 5 a.m. and he's still making time for us. Respect to that. Safe driving, Trey, and we'll look forward to catching up with you.
Thanks, Michael. I'm in the barbecue capital of the world. I'm about to get some BBQ in Lexington, NC, so this is a really well-timed appearance. I'll catch y'all soon.
Catch you soon. Enjoy the meal. That's a walk-off right there, walking off to go eat some barbecue. We're back with more after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.